Because God, this is our prayer, Lord. You'll turn our hearts. God, our hearts so often don't want to turn. So often our hearts want to go our own way. But God, we ask that this evening, that you'll do a mighty miracle in our hearts, Lord. That our hearts would turn. This is our prayer, Lord. This is our desire, Lord. This is the cry of our hearts. That our hearts would turn to your way. And so we pray, God, that you would speak. We pray, Lord God, that your word would impact our hearts. God, we pray that our hearts would be full of faith, knowing that you are risen from the grave. You are risen. You are alive. And through your Holy Spirit, you are here. God Almighty, ordinary, so often so sinful humans, God, we cry out to you tonight and we say, God, come and help us. God, open our eyes to see. And Lord, open our hearts to receive from you. Lord, we thank you for this. And we trust you for this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we're continuing. Let the Mighty Rise, number 3. The trilogy continues. When I started this about a month before I actually started this, I felt God saying, I really felt in my heart that this is what should happen. You know, this is what we should speak about. And just in my own heart, I think there's been lots of change the last few weeks. And I'm trusting that you would receive the same. And I want to encourage you, don't just come on an evening like this and just listen once and put it behind you. And we put the notes or some of the notes on the web. And so take those notes and work through it, or make notes here and go through those scriptures, go meditate upon it, go pray through it. That's the only way you find change in your heart, when you work through those things. And so we were busy Luke chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. Sort of the outline for these 4 weeks. Each message stands on its own, so don't worry if you weren't here the previous 4 weeks or 2 weeks. But it says here, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, every valley shall be filled. Okay, so the first week, 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the valleys. The valleys to be filled, the valleys of failure. So often we go through the valleys of failure and we just remain there. And I spoke about how to break out of that failure. And then last week I spoke about the next bit, and every mountain and hill brought low. Okay, so the opinions of man becomes a mountain. It tries to form us. It tells us who we are. It tries to define us. But I say that the word of God in our mouths has the final say. And that, that spoke to me. And this evening, I want to speak about the crooked places shall be made straight. And next week, the rough ways smooth, because all flesh shall see the salvation of God. It's like something that happens on the inside of us. You know, overcoming the challenges of life, as I said in the previous times, it's not about the size of the mountains or the valleys or the external things out there. It's what's going on in the inside. Are we able to handle whatever life is throwing at us? Because life will come at us. That's a fact. But can we overcome it? And so this evening, we're going to talk about the crooked places. But first, you know, it's just one of these wonderful things about Christianity. You know, before I became a Christian, you know, I messed up. You know, I went through some bad patches. I did some bad stuff and messing up my own life and all those things. You know, the BC, the before Christ, they say the BC days, you know. And then this wonderful thing happened. I became a Christian. And it was just amazing. And I was like rubbing out my eyes, and it was, voila, I was perfect. It was just amazing. They started to speak about me at church, Andre Perfect Christian Kruger, you know. And it was just, I mean, it just instantaneously happened. I was humble, I was loving, I was patient, I was, you know, I just... temptation didn't have an effect upon my life anymore, you know, and that's how it should be. You know, that's you bad before, you become a Christian, and perfection. So that's why I can stand before you this evening. I was the most humble person I knew. I mean, I was really wonderful guy. You know, so all the perfect Christians, please raise your hands. I say one, come on, anybody else? I'm shocked. There's another one. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. All the visitors are really shocked now. This guy is so arrogant. I can't believe it. You know, see, that perfection phase, it lasted about 2 hours. 2 hours. You know, I've arrived. And then suddenly I was struggling. You know, then suddenly life came and temptation came and things came at me and I realized, am I a Christian? What's wrong with me? Something must be wrong with me. You see, but perfection, not in this life, unfortunately. Okay, so make a peace about that. But then I realized there was this internal war on the inside of me. I wanted to go this way, but something inside of me wanted to go the other way the whole time. And it was the shock of my life because, you know, people tell you when you become a Christian, everything's fine. Or isn't it? Not quite. But I found something out. I was not alone. I was not alone. And it wasn't God. I found out there's a crookedness on the inside. That's what I'm going to talk about tonight. A crookedness. Something on the inside that if the road is that way, it's going to, yes, let's try this way. And it's going to be with us, unfortunately, for a long, long time. Okay, but before we get to this now, go into detail, I want to talk about the crooked place. Before I get there, we need a perception change. I was speaking every week about a perception change, perception change, perception change. Now, when it comes to this perception change, we need to realize overcoming temptation is the training ground for launching us into our destiny. That's very profound. Because we don't think like that. We think if you're a Christian and you want to live a holy life, a good life, you want to do what is right, you want to always walk straight and narrow. I mean, that's right. And then there's suddenly this thing on the inside and suddenly you're going off track and off track. You say, God, why me? This is terrible. I don't like this. I don't want to battle with these things. Oh, you're all looking at me. Whew, this guy's weird. I don't battle with stuff. Okay, so it's fine. You, perfect. But through the years, I've come to a place that I've struggled and said, God, I just want to be normal. I just want to be normal. It's, for instance, when I was at high school, early high school, I enjoyed playing sometimes computer games. But I would like play through the night. You know, I'd love strategy. Moving, nuke something, you know, doing strategy, long hours of thinking things through. That's what I enjoyed. You know, and then I became a Christian, and then I realized, yay, I did this. In my first year of marriage, I went out and I thought, God, I didn't play it for years. So I'm going to buy this game. So I went out and I bought myself two or three strategy games. We're a few years old, so it was very cheap. And I took it home Saturday afternoon. I started to play around 2, and I played till about 5. And then I realized I should give this away now. Because my wife would come into the room, and I'd say, I'm busy. I'm busy. I just suddenly got such an angry, distracted person. And I realized this isn't good for me. So I gave it away after 3 hours. Okay. And then every now and again in my life, I would walk into CNA or somewhere, and I go stand there, the computer game racks. Because I got to know what other people are doing, you know. Ah, oh, Civilization 4. I played number one. I played number one 15 years ago. Oh God, can't I be normal just once and just play for 6 months? Lord, I just want to, I just want to be normal like other people, do ordinary stuff. No, but I realized I can't. There's something wrong with me. When I do those things and just ordinary stuff of life, it sort of makes me, you know, my wife, and I'm distracted and I'm veering off course. And I've made the decision, I don't want to be normal. I don't want to be normal. You know, I don't want to be the other people. Other people can do certain stuff. Me, I can't. Because why? Because I'm on a mission for the God. I'm on a walk for God. I'm on a mission to do something. And I realize I need to live differently. But look at that, what I just said. Overcoming temptation or crookedness is the training ground for launching us into our destiny. Why? Because I realized if I didn't struggle with so many things in my life since, because I had a bit of a bad background, so I brought all this stuff into my Christian life, and I so battled just to sort of stay on the road that I learned a different lifestyle. You know, if I don't get up in the morning early and pray, I'm not going to make the day type of thing. That's how it was for me. Now, if I don't get into Scripture, I'm not going to make it, you know, because I'm going to veer off the whole time. But I found it's the best blessed thing in the whole world, the crookedness of our hearts. If you use it right, you're not just going to come in from the crooked places to a good place. It's going to launch you into your destiny. It's going to launch you into your destiny. So then we need a perception change. We say, God, thank you that I'm so sinful. God, thank you that I'm always veering off course. God, thank you that I always want to do wrong. Because you're going to use this to change me forever if I get my perception change right. Perception change. It's your training ground. We must just click it. So, you know, if there's one thing, let's talk about just the crooked places. You know, there's a good path, a God path, a blessed path. And then there's this, the crooked path. Okay. Going off course. You know, that is a terrible place to be. You know, a terrible place to be. I found that those places becomes a nightmare. There's so much shame, so much guilt, so much stuff that comes with it. But I realized the things that have taught me the most about God, who He is, how much He loves me, is through overcoming temptation. The thing that has taught me the most about God's love and goodness has been when I overcame temptation. So the process of overcoming the crookedness of our hearts is a training ground. I just want to get that. It's a training ground. It's not bad. It's good. It's good. You need to make it work for you. You need to make it work for you. Whatever you're struggling with. Whatever you're struggling with. Whatever is veering you off course. I have found that the worst things that happen in people's lives are in the end the best thing that has ever happened to them. Do you know why? Because it drove them to God. They would never have become believers if it wasn't for these issues in their lives. They would never have turned to God if it wasn't for the this or the that or the business failing maybe or the marriage failing or the this or the that. That's what happened to me. My wheels came off and I was suddenly open enough to come to God. So make it work for you. Make it work for you. For instance, shock the devil. Shock the devil. It's like, now the devil is not welcome in this church, and the devil is not welcome in this church, but I just want to sort of give you a little bit about, I think, his strategy. I was practicing at home in the mirror. I freaked my wife out. These people at sofa, they freak me out. Not like other churches. You know, I go to other churches and I tempt them. Ah, You know, and they fall flat on their face, and they get depressed, and they run away from God, and they, I like it. But these people at Sofa, they different. They fall sometimes, yes, but they don't get depressed. They don't get depressed. They get up and they go back to their God. They don't get depressed. That freaks me out there. Because I want to get them on the crooked paths. See why I freaked my wife out. But I want you to see this. So, you know, don't tell them. Don't tell them. Oh, no, that pastor is going to tell them again. Don't tell them. Don't tell them what Jesus did. Don't. Oh, no. Don't tell them that he's overcome it all. He's broken the power of sin. Don't tell them. Ah, oh, now he's telling them again. I don't like that church. You know, you know, the devil, that's how he is. He's wanting to get us off the way. Ah, and then, when they fall, it motivates them to get up and to follow God. Ugh, terrible. Yeah. So I like that. Make the devil upset. Huh? So make the devil upset. Make it work for you. Don't let sin or challenges or crookedness or mess ups cause you to turn away from God. Make it go, make it run to God. That is what I found every time. Just turn around, freak out the devil. Now I'm going back to Jesus now. Cheers. Go back. Don't give up. Now look at this. James 1 verse 12. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Oh, I hate that scripture. But it's in the Bible. It's powerful. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Because temptation has power. It does something in us. It does something to the Christian that has the right perception of it. So allow it, as the scripture says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. The crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. It is our training ground. If you overcome temptation, yes, you may stumble 100 times, but just get up and go back. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. I'm going to give you some keys tonight how to overcome temptation. It is, if the mighty is going to arise, we need to overcome this. We need to, whatever it is. You see, your temptation, my temptation, two different things. But God has the plan. He has the answer for us to come out. So the crooked places. You know, so often we ask, well, how did I get here? It's like, you know, you're walking on this nice straight road, and then suddenly you find yourself crooked. This is like how you look on the inside, you know, crooked. So you're like walking, and then this thing is always causing you to go to the side, a crookedness, an inward bent to go skew. That is often, that's how we struggle with it. So on the crooked path, you know, you come to a place, you say, but what am I doing here? I didn't want to come here. I don't actually want to be here. And somehow your feet is leading you away from the good path, just over and over again. And you don't know why. You don't know why. And then, you know, some friends come and visit you again, you know, guilt and shame, because good Christians shouldn't be on this road. You know, good Christians shouldn't be there. Okay, so let's look at defining the crookedness. James 5, verse 19 to 20. It says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, that's like stumbling, you know, skewness, crookedness, walking off the path. If anyone wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Okay, so what is that word sinner? What does it actually mean? It says hamartolos. It says a traveler leaving the familiar road and taking twisted paths that cause him to lose his way. That is being a sinner. This is the good path, but a sinner, the inward bent, the inward twisting of our inward insides is wanting us to go off track the whole time. You see, on the crooked path, something always dies. That's what happens. Sin always causes something to die. Sin always causes something to die. So if you're on the crooked path, if you're leaving the good road, something's going to die. Whatever that may be. Your relationship with somebody, your health, your emotional health, your thought life. All these things start dying because you're going upon that wrong road. I think that is the worst place in the world to be for any believer. To be on the crooked paths and you've got nobody to tell because Christians shouldn't be here. Christians shouldn't be here. That's what you're telling yourself. Christians shouldn't be there. And then that comes, the depression, the guilt, the self-anger, self-hatred. And the enemy laughs at us. Got you where I want you. You see, we need to break out of those things. We shouldn't fall for it. Okay, so how do we get ourselves off track? What is the root? Obviously, we're inward bent. We have a sinful nature that wants to go wrong. But what gets us off track over and over again? I believe it's this key. What we consume will determine the path we take. What we consume will determine the path we take. What we partake of will in the end determine the path we take. And I want to break it down into two parts. The first one is the crumbs of this world. It seduces us into the crooked places. Because you see... Let me see if I can do this again. Okay. I'm going to explain to you how my strategy works. It works as follows. You see the little Christian on the road. Nice road. But I come with the crumb. The itsy bitsy crumb. It looks so good. But if you come closer, you will see it is all stinky and it's a rotten and this is wormies, some wormies. So I check where Christian is and I take my little crumb and I put it over there where he sees it. And then I check him and I say, come, hey, say, come, fatom, no. So now I'm checking the Christian and then he goes and he takes it and he eats it and he says, because it looks much better than it tastes. But then I got him and then he wants more and he goes to the next one. Another crumb. So I put another crumb over there. So I'm leading him away. Do you see my strategy? It's moving away. Okay. So he's moving over here. And then he takes another crumb. And he takes another crumb. And he says, he's not good. But he wants more. Because I speak to the fleshly side. And then he wants more. And he wants more. And he gets addicted. Yeah. That's what I want. Now everybody's really worried about this church, man. But I want you to see this and remember this. This is how it works. You're on the good way, and then the enemy comes and he puts the crumbs of this world. The crumbs of this world, it looks good, but it doesn't fulfill. It looks good, but when you actually taste it, it's like wormy. It's like rotten. It's like stinking. But it starts off sort of okay, and then it goes worse and worse and worse. That's how it works. So, for instance, the boundary will always move. It was over here, but then the boundary will move a little bit further. And then the boundary will move a little bit further. Good example would be guy and girl dating one another. At the start, guy saying, woo, man, just to touch this hand, this is good. She's got a hand, man. And then that was the boundary. And then you find out, woo, she's got some other parts of her body as well. And then you are in trouble. Okay, so it's like moving the boundary the whole time. And you need to know it. So it's the crumbs, little bit, little bit, little bit. You will never go all the way to big trouble. You always go little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit. Okay, sure you got that. Okay, so what happens is that the crumbs of this world seduces us. It seduces us little by little. You know, it says to, hey, handsome, how about another peep? Ah, just a little one, come on. Oh, hey, pretty lady, how about another chocolate? Gonna feel so much better. Hey. Or maybe try and find love in all the wrong places, with all the wrong men. It's just, come on, he's gonna feel better over here. Come on. So it's trying to lead you astray. Proverbs 7:25. Do not let your heart turn aside. That's where it comes to the heart. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men or women when it comes to temptation. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Even the strong are slain by temptation. And that's why this is such an important facet of becoming a mighty woman of God or a mighty man of God. We have to learn to overcome the crooked places that's always veering us off, always causing us to go into the wrong direction. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 to 13. This is a very powerful scripture. It says, you say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You see, there are lots of things that would not be labeled as sin in this world. And it isn't a sin per se. You know, playing a computer game for me, it's not a sin. But it's not good for me. I get addicted. I want to blow people up for the rest of the night then, you know. It's not good. And each of us need to determine what is stealing your life source from you. What is distracting you? Which is fine, but it actually has some power over you. You can't not do it. You can't just leave it for a season because you need it. You're actually a bit addicted at some level. And the effect of that is that it never fulfills us. It always leaves us wanting for more. The crumbs of the world. It seduces, says, I'm going to make you happy, but it never does. You're always going to want more after it, and more after it, and more after it. So you're chasing something that will never fulfill you. But every time you hope, this time it's going to do it. This time it's going to help. You see, it never fulfills, but this is the worst thing it does. Yet it does fill you. And this is where I'm going to come to. It doesn't fulfill, but it does fill you. Imagine this. You won a prize, a 5,000 rand, 5-course meal. The best of the best chef in the world, the best surroundings. It is your dream come true. And then just beforehand, you stop at one of these cafes and you buy these big bags of chips. You know, it's like party chips, like these, it's like wind. And you stuff yourself with the whole thing. And then you go in for your 5,000 rand meal. You're sitting there, bring it on. And they bring the most amazing food you've ever seen. It is the most delicious. It is just, you've been dreaming about this your whole life. Sauces, chippies, steak. The best wine or something, your best drink in the whole world. And you're thinking, oh, I'm full. I don't want this. Oh, no, thank you. You know, it's amazing. You want it, but, oh, no, thank you. Don't want it. I think that's what happens to many Christians. We are so full with the chippies, the bad chippies, thin chippies, that when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to God, we're like, we know it's good. We know the Scriptures are good. We know it's good to pray, but I'm just not in the mood. not in the mood. So it fills us, yet it never, ever fulfills. Okay, so how do we get back to the good path? You're off on the crooked roads, and you want to come back. How do we do that? Okay, the Word of God leads us to the good path. I read this story. It was a missionary somewhere in the world, and he was standing on the street corner, and he was giving out New Testament Bibles. And then some people took, some didn't take. And then there came this one guy to him, and he said, "Can I have a Bible?" And he said, "Yes, sure." And he said, "But can I smoke it?" Because he was looking, he saw that the little Bible was just the right size. If you just roll the pages, you're going to have a nice zol. You're going to have a nice smoke. And this missionary thought, "No, this isn't right. You can't smoke the Bible." But so he made a deal with him. "Fine, you can smoke it, but you have to read the page before you smoke it." And so he forgot about this guy. And he says about 10 years later, he came to this missionary conference. And this one guy got onto the stage and he was preaching up a storm. And this guy came to him late and said, "Do you remember me?" "No, I came to get this little Bible from you, to smoke it. It was just the right size." And he says, "I smoked Matthew. I smoked Mark. I smoked Luke. But when I came to John 3:16, I couldn't handle anymore and I became a Christian." Amazing. The power of the Word. I can give you 100 stories like that, or where somebody that was far away from God just read the Scriptures. They were crooked. They were bent. They were always going aside. But then the Word impacted their lives. And this man became an evangelist and he started to preach all over the world because he smoked the New Testament. So from now on, it's fine to smoke the New Testament. But I believe the crookedness of our hearts are bent straight. Crookedness bent straight by the Word of God. The crookedness of our hearts are bent straight by the Word of God. Maybe you can say that. Say, "The crookedness of my heart is bent straight by the Word of God." Amen. Amen. This is good news, people. This is good news for Christians who don't want to go on the crooked path the whole time. I found that this is the key. But if you're too full with the things of the world, the crumbs of the world that don't fulfill, if you're so full of that, you're not going to eat the Scriptures. You're not going to eat the Word. I believe, you know, if you go to the Eastern nations like China or India, those places, the biggest challenge for Christianity there is persecution. I mean, they get killed, some of them get martyred. I mean, so that's a major challenge. What do you think is the biggest challenge to Christianity in the Western world? Huh? Entertainment. The crumbs of this world. I'm not saying any entertainment. I'm just saying when it fills us so much that we don't have space for God anymore. So I know this is a challenging thing, but I saw this. Let me just read the scripture. James 1:21. It says, and this proves my thing about the crookedness of our hearts is bent straight by the Word of God. It says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls, which is able to take the crookedness and bend you straight." Take the crookedness and bend you straight. If you allow the Word of God to fill you, it will bend you straight. Look at this, Matthew 4:4. "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" But by every word, we shall live. I saw this picture while we were praying one time, and I saw, you know, those children, we sometimes see these pictures on the news or somewhere about these anemic, say, Somalian children. They're really starving children. You've seen those pictures, really starving. And I saw this picture, and I felt God saying to me, "But that's how the Christians look, spiritually speaking. They are anemic. They are starving. They're walking around, and they have no strength to say no to temptation when temptation comes. No strength to say no because they're anemic. They are weak in their spirit. But if you take the word of God and you fill yourself with the word of God, like Jesus did, and temptation comes, you're going to be strong to say no. I don't want to go that path. Actually, I'm not really interested in crumbs. I'm having a 5-course meal right now. Go away. Bye. The word of God. The word of God. We shall live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And if you have to smoke the whole New Testament, but just read it every time beforehand. Just work through it. Work through it. And you will see a change. Now look at this. 1 Peter 2:11. I'm finishing up. It says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners, as pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Now, this is the Apostle Peter, and he's writing to the whole wide church of at that time, and he's saying, "Guys, I beg you, please abstain from stuff that's going to cause you to go off the crooked path, to go onto the crooked path. Abstain." Because it says that these lusts war against the soul. Now, what is a war? How does a war work? What is the purpose of war? It is to conquer. It is to dominate. These things wants to dominate our hearts. It wants to tell us what we shall do, what we can't do, how we shall live, how we shall not live. And somebody else is dictating. And we become powerless as believers, because we're always off on the crooked paths, always off on the crooked paths. It wars against the soul. And so here is my challenge. I know it's a biggie. It's a really biggie. All the visitors, relax. All the locals, bear with me. We are praying on Monday evening, and I just felt God speaking to me about this. And I felt God challenging me to say, set aside 40 days. No, not fasting of food. Just fasting of the world. Just fasting of the crumbs of the world. Now, that's my challenge. And I believe that I just want to be obedient. So I want to put it out there for anybody who wants to join me for 40 days to put the TV off, not go surfing the internet unless for work purposes, not read so much newspaper. Just put all those things aside. Because I believe God spoke to my heart and he told me, try me now in this. Try me. I dare you. That's what I believe God is saying. I dare you. Try this. For 40 days, cancel entertainment and stuff that distracts you the whole time for 40 days. And instead of those entertainment and those other stuff, etc., spend time in my word. For 40 days, and see if I don't change your life around. I believe that's the challenge that God is giving to us. And I just want to be obedient. So that's why I'm sharing this wonderful news with you. Yay! Yay! Brian, yay! And nobody has to. This is not legal now in law. You don't have to. This is an invitation, I believe, from the Lord. 40 days of sanctification till the 3rd of December. Cut out the crumbs of this world and consume the word of God. Because what we consume will determine the path we walk. And it's not for the rest of your life. You will be able to watch a movie again. But test the Lord. Try the Lord. That is my challenge to you. Try me now in this. And in this scripture, Joshua 3, verse 5. And Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Sanctify what? Sanctify yourselves. It's not something God comes to do. It's just where you say, "I'm just putting that stuff down just for a little bit. 7 lunches for a month. It's going to be the same 10 minutes later scene 40 days later. Don't worry." You said, put it aside and say, "Lord, just for the next 40 days, I'm going to give you a gap." I saw this a few weeks ago. I was praying and God spoke to me. I saw a picture of Jesus standing at the door of my house and he was knocking. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I'm knocking on your door. You have the option to either open the door or to keep it shut. If you open it, I'm in. I'm passionately wanting in. The issues you're struggling with, I want to set you free. Healing that you need, I want to set you free. But if you're so filled with the crumbs of the world, my word cannot get in. I remember, I've shared this before, but in 1998, or was it 9? When was the World Cup rugby in England? Can't remember, 98. And I felt God challenge me to say, just lay it down. Man, it was hard. I was sitting there in my hostel room, and the guys were shouting, semi-final, South Africa against Australia. I was like, I was thinking, no, Lord, I don't want to see it. I want to be normal, Lord. I just want to be like everybody else. But I'm not. Because I want to meet with God. I don't want to be like other people that don't experience God in their lives. I want to experience God in my life. And so every time I've done that, every time I've done that, there's come a change in my life, a radical change in my life. God blesses you. Cannot outgive God. I promise you, cannot outgive God. The Lord challenged my wife for 3 months to not buy anything for herself. No shopping for herself. I saw that shake there, Brian. All the husbands say amen. How about guys and girls, for the next 40 days, don't buy fancy stuff for yourself. Just necessities, food and stuff. Don't go do window shopping. Oh, I want that. I'm going to look so good in that. Oh, that's so wonderful. Oh, I believe God is saying, try me now in this. Try me now in this. So you want to hold on to those crumbs? Filthy, stinking crumbs that don't bring fulfillment? Or you want the 5-course meal? We're talking about the mighty arising here, okay? So I'm really sorry. I hope all the visitors come back one day again. Whew, those people are crazy. But I just want to be obedient to what I believe God is challenging us with. And what I'm going to do is the last Sunday of November, I'm going to come back to this topic. And we're going to evaluate what has God done. Shock the devil. Put the TV off. No! That's my favorite channel. Shock the devil. There's a scripture in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. It looks so good on screen. This is really hard. I'm not saying this is easy. But God has helped me, I must confess. My TV is broken. Thank you, Lord. So just take a baseball bat and just clobber it. It's going to be much easier. And so it would have been repaired this week, past week. And they said the parts are coming from Joburg. It's going to be sorted. I phoned them on Thursday and they said, no, it has to come from Korea. It's going to take about 6 weeks or so. I think that's a sign. I think that's a sign. It must be God. That must be God. But there's a scripture in Genesis 1. And it says, the earth was dark. And there's darkness over the face of the earth. And it says, and then God spoke. And he said, let there be light. And then he said, let's separate now the light from the dark. And it was separated. And I believe that's what this is about. What happens when you mix light and dark? Does the light shine brightly? No, it won't. It's all right. Haze. But if you separate the two, the light is going to shine brighter than ever before. Ever before. So try me now in this. And please come back to church next Sunday. And I promise to pray for you for grace and help when you know it's heaven alone, Tate. Let's just close our eyes. just want us to sink in. I know this is a bit of a shock for some of us, but you don't have to do anything. This is absolutely free will. I will never force anything like this on anybody. So I'm going to pray. And I want you to search your heart. And to decide, what are you going to give up for the next 40 days? I'm going to give up TV, movies, internet, newspapers. If you see me at the movies, it will only be because I'm checking out who's there. Okay, so I'm going to pray. Search your heart. But why not just give it all to the Lord and see Him do a miracle in your life? And those times when you would have watched TV, read the scriptures, read the Psalms, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read it over. Read the New Testament 6 times if you have to. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your grace, Lord. Thank You, God, that this is a massive challenge. But Your grace is sufficient. And so, Lord God, I pray. I pray for us, Lord God. I pray that You would, right now, to minister to our hearts what we should lay down for the next 40 days. If it's shopping, lay it down. If the Lord speaks to you, if you feel that sometimes a distraction to you, lay it down. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for our hearts. And Lord, I pray that You'll do a mighty miracle. Because this is hard. This is really hard. We are so used to the things of this world. And so, Lord, I pray that You'd minister to us right now. I pray You give us courage. I pray You give us strength. I pray, Lord God, You'll give us the willpower. But more than that, just the humble trust in You to say, Jesus, I need You to take me through this. I wanna go for it. Father, we bless You for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You're not allowed to give up dancing at this stage. We have a dance next week on Saturday. Okay, so I'm going to give an opportunity. If you're going to join me for 40 days, whatever it is, do you have your thing in your head? Because I want you to stand up to say, I'm in for 40 days, to say no to certain things in my life, whatever that may be. If you are unable to give up everything, give up something. Okay. Anybody? Please stand. Brian, your prayers have been answered. Father, we thank You. That You say, try me now in this. Thank You, God, that You see, Lord, our response of faith, God. We're going to try You. We're going to give You an opportunity to step into our hearts, step into our lives. And so, God, this evening, God, we lay down the crumbs of this world and we take up the Word of God. We take up the Word of God. We take up the Word of God. And so, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Your grace to lead us and to show us the way in these 40 days, Lord God. Do a mighty miracle in us, Lord. Oh God, may it be the sweetest times in Your presence, Lord. May it be the sweetest times in prayer. The sweetest times, Lord, at Your feet. The sweetest times. Thank You, God, that You'll open the windows of heaven. As we lay it down.